Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Hello, David. How are you?
I'm aching a bit, actually, Tim, because I played football yesterday.
I just a minute ago accused you of having a bad back, but you said it's not a bad back, you just played
I just played football. And, well, it might be a bad back, and it might certainly look like a bad back, but I don't feel that my back is any worse than it normally is. But after I play football, I obviously ache, and so I walk around like an old man.
Yeah.
Because I am an old man, but also more so, in a kind of more theatrical way, right. I guess. I probably am exhibiting old mannishness in the way that I walk. And it was quite a short walk when you said that.
Yeah. I mean, when I said, how are you? I didn't really mean, how are you?
No, that's true. But I always, you probably know this about me, I never answer that question by saying fine in the English way.
Unless you are fine.
Well, yeah, unless I really am fine. I almost never am straightforwardly fine. No, I mean, who is?
Yeah, who is?
I mean, I'm always tired for a start. And I typically need to tell people that.
Right.
I need to tell people.
How did you sleep
this
last
morning?
Night?
I did an interview for Radio London.
Okay.
And their first question was, oh, hi, David, how are you? And I think they expected me to say, I'm great. But I immediately said, well, I'm really tired.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't sleep very well. No. And I luckily he'd mentioned that I was an insomniac. So that slightly why I said it, because it's mentioned in the book. The God Desire, by the way, for anyone who's wondering, my new book.
I don't think anyone was, but if there were any messages, I'd pass them on, but so far nothing.
Nothing. But he mentioned I was an insomniac. And so when he said, how are you? I said, well, I didn't sleep very well last night. And now you've got me up to do this interview, so I'm tired.
But can you give us a sense of, just taking last night as an example, when you say you didn't sleep very well,
what
was it?
I went and did a literary festival at Chipping Norton the other day. And
Clarkson's Farm.
Quite near Clarkson's Farm. That was mentioned by a few people, Clarkson's Farm. In fact, one bloke who I was in a taxi with, who is an Israeli children's writer, I was on a taxi on the way to Banbury. He was talking to the driver who worked at the festival who has a farm next to Clarkson's farm.
Oh, right.
His name is Ollie. And I said, oh, how's that? And he said, no, it's all right, blah, blah, blah. And then this bloke, Yuval, the Israeli, said, you know what? One day I'm sure there will be a television program about this Clarkson's farm. And I said, no, there is. There really is.
Wow.
And kind of that's why it exists.
But if you're in his brain, you must have thought, God, people really talk about this farm a lot. You can see why he might have said it. It's like this natural next thing. It's so famous.
Yeah, I know.
It deserves its own TV show. I can see that.
Yeah. So anyway, while I was there, Simon Blackwell, who is a very fine comedy writer.
Yeah,
do you know
I don't know it, but I know who he is.
He's a really funny comedy writer. He wrote, you know, for Peep Show and In the Loop.
W1A, didn't he? Or
not W1A, that's John Morton.
No, but he wrote on one of those. No, I'm thinking Veep.
Yeah, Veep. Veep was kind
of
his, that was his thing.
And
the thick of it and whatever. He's a brilliant writer. Anyway, he said, get some CBD oil. And I've tried CBD oil before. I can't believe this. What is this turning into? A kind of health podcast? Anyway, I've tried it before and it's not done much. So he said, no, you have to take a lot of it. You have to take a big old pipette of it.
Oh, okay.
A big pipette and then put it in your mouth.
Is there such a thing as a big pipette? The point is, but I know what he means.
Well, it's not like a comedy pipette. It's not like a sort of thing that you'd see on a Pink Floyd backdrop.
We've often been quite interesting taken science on a bit in this podcast. We've often maybe even made science. I'm not going to say scientific discoveries. Yeah. I'll let the listeners say that, as you say, but we've pushed science a bit. Is the point of a pipette that there's something about the law, that gravity and space and so on, that you could you, how big can a pipette get before it's just like a big useless?
It's not a pipette.
Well, it's not that it's just...
Is that the question?
It doesn't do what a pipette does. Can you have a very large... Can you have a human-sized pipette?
Right. A human-sized pipette kind of is a human.
It's definitely not.
Well, it's a... No, it's not. That's not true. But I said I had an image of it with a little head on it.
Okay.
And the fact that it
still doesn't make it
It sort of releases liquid, which humans do.
Right.
that was.
I mean, it's going to be really easy for AI to take over if a human, about the size of a human, is a human.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, you know, when people say, and I discussed this in my new book, The God of Desire, what is it that makes us human?
Right.
No one's going to say, well, because we're full of liquid and we've got a bulbous head. No one's going to say that. But anyway, he said, you want a big pipette. I don't know, I'm not going to discuss your conceptual issues with pipette.
Well, let's hear from the listeners might want to
tell us. Okay, if anyone wants to write in and say, how big can a pipette be before it's no longer a pipette? I think it could be almost any size.
But I suppose there's a point at which the squeezing of the rubber, I can imagine at a certain point you've got to do it between your arm and your side, like sort of squeeze it like an accordion at a certain point, and then it's just too big to squeeze.
Yeah, and then it's going to go all over.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to target it if it's underneath your armpit.
Yeah. So I wonder wonder what the biggest one is. Interesting to know.
Interesting. It was a pipette-sized pipette, if you can imagine.
Yeah, I can totally
imagine. It comes in a bottle, and I bought it.
Yeah.
And I've been putting that under my mouth, and I have been sleeping a bit better.
Okay.
But last night I woke up at about 5:30, and...
Having gone to bed at what time?
Gone to bed about... Well, I played football, so it takes me a while to go to bed after that. Hadn't had a curry. Sometimes you have a curry at football, then that makes it worse. Yeah. I hadn't done that.
Okay.
So I probably went to bed at about 1.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's only like 4.5 hours sleep if I woke up at about 5:30.
Yeah, that's
so bad. I am a bit tired. Yeah. I'm saying that the expensive pipette of CBD oil didn't really make that much difference. No. So anyway, why are we saying this?
We're saying it because you said,
it's all,
I said,
how are you? It's all how are you?
And you're a bit tired.
I'm a bit tired.
Yeah.
So, I have a tiny bit of Bowie news that I'm going to kick off.
We were just saying before we went on that we haven't done this for a while, but
yeah,
we still actually haven't got anything lined up.
This is the first one we've done not in Warberswick for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
We're in my office, which as we know is in Kentish Town. But the Bowie news, I did in fact have, I thought, loads and loads of Bowie gear. Bowie, you know, minutiae,
right,
backed up, banked, ready for the next podcast. I then realised I couldn't remember any of it.
Okay.
So I did my thing that I sometimes do before this podcast, which is to Google the words Bowie news.
Right.
Slightly unfortunately, there's an athlete called
Bowie who died recently. Yeah.
So that got in the way, and I'm not going to make any jokes about them. But I did manage to then put in David Bowie news.
Okay.
And the only news I got, which feels like to be not a piece of news, is that Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys, have you seen this?
I saw this.
Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys has revealed that David Bowie liked a very dull sandwich.
Yeah.
He said he liked a ham baguette, and he knew this because they did the Brits together in 1996, which, by the way, I think I presented at the Brits in 1996, so I must have been backstage, but I don't remember ever interacting with either Bowie or Neil Tennant.
Okay. Because I felt that, the bad news for our listeners is, I said I've got a bit of Bowie stuff, and it's the same thing.
Oh, no.
Because
Okay, well, I'm going at it a slightly different way, but I suspect it might all be different. Because, of course, the key element is that Neil Tennant says, you know, you'd expect David Bowie to have a more interesting sandwich. He only had a hamburger.
Yeah.
And then, in a way to suggest, like, what he thought Bowie would have, he said, you'd expect him to be eating a sandwich, an Indonesian sardine sandwich.
Yeah,
so this is where I thought we could dig into this, because, like... That is not a sandwich.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I would hazard a guess, possibly away from Indonesia, and even there, I'm not sure, you would never see an Indonesian sardine sandwich. That's not a sandwich option.
Right.
Even an exotic... Like yesterday, I had a meeting in quite a down-at-heel bar, but it turned out that they had a halloumi and hummus and jalapeno sandwich. And I thought, and I had it, it was very nice.
Right.
That's an exotic sandwich. If I said, can I have an Indonesian sardine sandwich, they would have looked at me very blankly indeed.
Yeah, I have had, it depends what you're questioning, because I've had a sardine sandwich.
Yeah, you have a sardine sandwich. Yeah.
Hot sardines.
Are you suggesting that most sardines come from Indonesia, and so therefore it's not such a weird thing, in which case it doesn't work either? Because if a sardine sandwich isn't a thing, and it turns out that most sardines come from Indonesia, then he's basically saying, he didn't have a hamburger, I'd expect to have a sardine sandwich.
I think what he's obviously doing in the moment is trying to come up with a sort of really cool, a bit exotic sort of Bowie type thing.
Yeah.
And if you juxtapose Indonesia with sardine, I sort of see where he's going.
No, I know where he's going.
But what would you say?
What, for an exotic sandwich?
Yeah, like it's not what you'd expect it would
what
be.
What would you expect David Bowie?
Yeah.
Milk and peppers sandwich.
Yeah, I would say you wouldn't even think sandwich.
No, I doubt he'd. Well,
would he enjoy a sandwich?
Well, firstly, I think the whole conception is wrong.
Right.
Right. Because I think one of the things about Bowie was that, I'm guessing this, was that he was probably not that self-consciously strange about things like what
yes,
he ate.
Yes, I see what you mean, yeah.
I've never heard, apart from the milk and peppers thing, which was to do with him
not being able to eat, kind of thing.
Out of on coke and whatever.
Yeah.
I suspect, I've never read anything that suggested that David Bowie didn't just basically eat what everyone else eats. Like probably he had a chef for cooking him, you know, I think he got a bit macrobiotic as he got older and whatever.
Right.
But no, I don't think he ate weird sandwiches. Space sandwiches. That's really what Neil is saying.
Yeah,
he should have been having a space sandwich.
Yeah, no, I mean, as we know, listeners will know from the early days of this, I sat next to him in a restaurant, a tea room, and he was presumably having cake.
Yeah.
That
was in 1973. Like, to be fair, in 1973, that was all you could have.
Maybe that's right. And maybe that felt like the world was in colour suddenly and like having cake in a tea room. I take that point.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm very much down in that tea room in Edinburgh.
The
Indonesian sandwiches were on the menu.
I must have mentioned this.
From Leith, probably.
Did I mention this at the time? You won't be able to remember, but that's where my brother bit his glass.
No.
Rob, basically, what is it? So I feel like certain people are sort of prone to accidents. There's no reason for that to be the case.
The phrase accident prone, have you heard that phrase?
Well, exactly. Yeah. But is it a real thing? Because accidents are literally accidents.
I have a cat that is accident prone.
Well, so
tiger. Endlessly falling off things.
Right, more than other cats.
Yes, much more than other cats.
So that's,
in fact, just yesterday, me and Ezra, my son, saw Tiger on the top of the shed, and both of us said, oh, fuck, he's definitely going to fall off and break his leg.
Right.
Which you wouldn't expect to think about a cat.
Right.
He didn't, but generally we fear for Tiger.
Because that might be a motor issue, right?
Yeah.
The cat's got. Which
might
be. But my brother's accidents are all not that related, I don't think. And so variously through childhood, Rob got hit by the backswing of a golf club by a French exchange student who was staying with us.
Horrible, it's quite funny so far.
No, but except that it hit, there was so much blood. He was fine, but he's still got a scar now.
Did the French exchange guy say sacrum?
I remember him apologising in French. I sort of remember him sort of saying sorry, going into French in shock.
Yeah, what is sorry in
French? Désolé. Right. I don't know if that's what he said.
No, okay.
But Rob...
It's odd that, because it sounds desolate. I sort of knew that, but it sounds more extreme than sorry. It sounds like I am desolate.
Yeah, there may be other... Well, the French are very dramatic, aren't they?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In our house in Scotland, we had... it was like one of those modern brookside houses we were talking... And it had glass from the floor up halfway, and then there was a wooden slat, and then the rest of the glass. Do you know what I mean?
Do you mean the whole house or the door?
No, like the window was sort of glass from the floor. I'm just going to say it again. It wasn't an entire pane of glass. It had like sort of wood running through the middle.
Okay, well, let's just take it that I've understood the image you're
painting. It's a window.
Because I want you to carry
on.
Yeah.
It's a floor-to-ceiling window, by all the sense of it. And he fell, like we were mucking around, and he fell over and his head went through the window out onto the patio. You know, like I remember that very clearly.
Well, off his head.
Hmm?
He wasn't decapitated. It
was like a proper, you know, what do you call it, Holby City sort of...
Right. Okay, so he had titles. So let's go back to Edinburgh, Bowie...
Oh,
him biting the...
This one's a bit less exciting.
Well, except David Bowie is there.
Well, when Bowie's there, I don't know if he'd left by this point or we... Well, we wouldn't have left, would we? Well, because he's got a glass of Coke. I don't know.
Wandered off with it.
Yeah. And he was drinking the Coke and then he just bit the glass.
Right.
So he bit a huge chunk of glass.
Oh, he actually bit... It came off.
Yeah, and it came off.
That's quite a big thing.
Yeah, and I think my parents were worried he'd swallowed it. But annoyingly, if the story hadn't.
Okay, but it paints an interesting picture because the question you have to ask then is, you think, because you can't remember, which is kind of odd, whether or not David Bowie was still there. But if David Bowie...
I was like three.
Okay, but if David Bowie had still been there, and you could possibly ask one of your parents this, or possibly your brother, is it possible that David Bowie, you know, who we think of as a kind man...
Oh, I see,
...would have come over and said, oh my God... Because Rob's what, five?
He's like three or something. Yeah,
they're not twins. You just said you were three.
No, I think I might be five. Right. I was thinking, what age do you start drinking glasses of Coke?
So he's younger than you?
He's 2 years younger, still is.
So he's drinking glasses of Coke at 3 years old?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe he's like five.
Okay, so you're seven.
Maybe I'm seven.
So you should remember. Anyway, is there a possibility that had that happened, which is quite a serious accident, that David Bowie would have come over and said, oh, can I help?
Yeah, right,
what can I do?
Lent over because they were so close to him.
And the spiders were there as well, weren't they?
The spiders aren't as helpful as you'd think.
Well, I wonder if Woody Woodmansey, particularly, or Trevor Boulder, might have said, shit. I'll definitely need to help.
I don't know how visible it was.
Oh, God, the sideburns have got in the way, but I really want to help.
I think that's possible. I think Bowie very coldly would have sat there and thought,
yeah,
this gives me an idea for a song I'm going to do on low.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's Broken Glass or something like that. Yeah. And then he went Breaking Glass. I think, yeah. Rob, that is about Rob.
I've been Breaking Glass in your yeah. mouth again.
That is about that Rob. I've just realised.
The original draft of Breaking Glass.
If Bowie, as we've talked about when you met Bowie on Jonathan's show and it was just awful, but I think the question I would simply ask
awful.
Is...
let's not just put that in history. Like, that's decided. I mean, it was awkward, but I still am pleased I met Bowie in that situation. No,
okay, let's go with that. But I think I would say to him, is Breaking Glass about Rob?
Yeah, okay.
That's the question I regret I'll never be able to ask.
Yeah,
well, I'll be able to ask it, but yeah. I won't get an answer.
So,
can I just say one other thing about Rob? Because it's just happened in real time.
Okay.
He's had another accident.
Oh, so he's accident prone.
That's what I mean.
He definitely is.
He had he fell off his ski, he got bumped, he had a skiing accident.
What, by Gwyneth Paltrow?
Was that it was literally that kind of thing. It was right. Kid bumped into him,
yeah,
and he fell over.
And
it's now
sued him in a
court. It is now a high profile court case yeah. live on telly. And he went to this hospital, he dislocated his shoulder,
right?
And he went to this Swedish, because he was in a Swedish hospital or A&E, and they basically said, We're going to put the shoulder back in,
right?
But that would be very painful, so we're going to give you a painkiller. But we're doing something slightly different at the moment, and we're giving you this very, very strong painkiller, and you'll be conscious, but you won't feel anything,
right?
And what we need you to do is to think about a very happy memory,
right.
A very happy place, which I'm going to come back to.
Okay. Was it Edinburgh in...
Well, if only. It was a holiday with his kids, right? He immediately went there and started thinking, and the guy said, focus on that.
Yeah.
The implication being, if you think about something negative, it can go a bit the other way.
Well, yeah, I've been in situations where someone's about to cause me pain and they've said, think about a happy
place. But this is specifically about the drug.
I'm not talking about people being about to beat me up. I mean medical people.
Right.
I've been in that situation.
Okay, well, his experience was, this drug, he said, was so good. He's never experienced anything like it. And during the operation, which he felt nothing, the doctor or anaesthetist said, you know, how are you doing? And he would say, oh, yeah, no, fine. My daughter's just about to jump in the pool. Right. And like he was sort of living this thing. And afterwards, about, I don't know however long, he said to the doctor, that was amazing, you know, that what was the drug? And he said, ketamine,
right.
Which, as we know, is a very popular recreational drug.
Yeah, but it is also a painkiller.
It's a painkiller, right, yeah. as my brother found. But the thing I was thinking about was, if a doctor said to me, okay, we're about to do this thing, it's quite important you get this right, so think about a happy memory. I think, not that I haven't been happy loads of times, but I think everything I would think about, I'd say, okay, that holiday and thing, and then I think, oh no, hang on. That was because I was a bit, there was a bit of a work thing going on. So not that, give me a second.
Yeah,
like,
how
would you find, if I say that to you now, like, place. How do you find a blissful place that doesn't think, where you don't think, yeah, but there's a bit of a niggly thing going on?
Yeah.
That's
well,
hard, isn't it?
It is hard, but also that's quite, see, I wouldn't be able to do that anyway.
Right.
In that people have to do a happy place. But the thing is, I've never understood this, is that like your brother saying, oh, I mean, he was on ketamine, so I don't have to do it, but oh no, this is just happening. My daughter's starting to jump. That imagines that he's gone to that place and he's replaying it.
Yes.
Absolutely like it happened.
Yes.
If someone tells me to do that, I get a flash frame of like a holiday or whatever.
Yes.
And then it goes and I'm thinking
exactly.
about something
yes.
else. Something like
no,
my
I
foot
agree.
Itching now.
Yeah.
And it's immediately overridden by something that's happening
definitely.
Now.
Definitely.
Yeah. But you mean within the holiday, you'd remember something about the holiday.
No, I think I would find it hard to, well, I think I'm saying the same. I'd find it hard to pick a thing that I could inhabit.
Oh, I see.
That felt entirely a happy experience that I wouldn't then say, not as unhappy, but like, oh, it was a bit annoying because we sort of had that restaurant.
Yes.
You know, like,
no, we're not saying the same thing. I need to draw the distinction.
Okay.
Right? Which is you're saying that within the frame of the memory, you would remember things about it that were annoying and inconvenient and they would fuck up at being a happy memory. I'm saying I can't even hold in my head the memory for much longer because something in the immediate, even if I was on a drug like ketamine, something I would immediately think, oh, what's that over there? Happening now? That's completely blotted out the Caribbean or whatever it is.
I don't know if that's true because I think the drug might partly make you go into a groove,
properly.
I think. But I know exactly what you mean. I think I am saying what you're saying. I think the listeners will be pleased to know.
Okay.
And it's very hard to unquestionably...
I think we may have no listeners by now.
It's very hard to unquestionably say... That was a purely happy thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
no, that almost never happens.
Yeah.
So I then watched, because it was a link in the article, the performance of Hello Space Boy.
Okay, at the Brits.
At the Brits in 1996, where he didn't have Indonesian sandwiches and had a
Is that where you take, would you take ketamine thinking about that? Was it a very happy experience? That
one, no.
No.
No. Okay. We'll come back to that another time. But I did notice something, which is he's wearing the weirdest shoes.
Okay.
In that. We'll go and have a look at it, which is, so I have met David Bowie.
I know.
But I don't have a sense of how tall he was. I mean, he was a slight bloke, right? He was always thin. It's like, well, you say that. He's wearing kind of stilettos.
Right.
And, and he's not, you know, in kind of 1970 Man Who Sold the World female clothing.
Okay.
He's wearing a weird 90s suit with a sort of florid collar, but everything else is fair and a sort of long tail. I don't mean he had a tail. I mean the coat has a tail. But then the camera decides to focus on his feet for a bit. And they're really weird. Oh. They're kind of clogs with a stiletto heel. And that made me think, oh, well, I mean, is it just David being like, oh, I'm going to wear something interesting? Or is it a bit Tom Cruise-y? Was he in fact shorter?
Or slightly medical, remember? Slightly sort of, you know.
No, I don't think it was medical. What's it called? A reconstructed boot. It's not called that. What is it called?
That's not the word. I think it's
something
a built-up shoe.
built-up shoe.
Right. It wasn't that.
Well, it wasn't a straightforward one. Because it was a clog with a stiletto on it. I mean, I could even show you, because I'd be quite interested to see what you think it is.
But I feel like...
Should I get it in my phone? Yeah,
I feel a bit sorry for him, because I feel like he is wearing a built-up shoe, but they've sort of made it a bit Bowie-like and made it stiletto-y to make him feel better.
Well, I think that would be up to David. Sorry, if my voice is going weird, it's because I'm...
David's opening the window.
I'm opening the window, because it's a bit hot in here. And also, I want to find the phone. So, no, I mean, there's no way that Bowie... I'll use my phone. Bowie at the Brits... He's going to say, oh, okay, I don't really like that shoe, but I suppose I have to have a medical built-up shoe. He's not going to say that. And it doesn't look like that, to be honest.
You mean he's got... I don't really understand your point.
Yes,
you mean
I need to show you the shoe.
Yeah, I'm very keen to see it.
There we go. David Bowie had basic butties on backstage Brits right here. Okay, let's see if we've got an actual footage of the thing. Right, that's a montage. Well, there he is backstage. See, am I there? Sorry, I'm now looking at this because I think...
Okay, this is Bowie backstage.
It is just possible that I'm there.
And he looks terrible, doesn't he? He's in that night. His hair was bad.
No, he's not. I wasn't there. Hello, Space Boy.
You do seem to be able to hear his shoes very clearly. It's like a click-clack.
Right, hang on. Let's see if this has it. Well, there's Chris Evans, who's hosting it. Yeah, this is it, right?
Okay.
So I think they're going to show his feet at some point.
So we're watching... If you want to watch along, we're watching David Bowie Brit Awards 1996 video... oh, we can almost see.
No, but it's a bit where they actually focus on
the
shoes.
Literally do a close-up. Yeah, there.
There. What do you think about those?
Those are... I tell you exactly what I think those are. They're not built-up shoes. I think they are a male shoe with stiletto and a sort of Bowie...
A male shoe with a stiletto thing. Is exactly what they are.
Yeah, it's an androgynous shoe.
But can we be absolutely certain that he's not wearing them to be a bit taller in a kind of Tom Cruise
way. Yeah, I know.
And that he's just David Bowie wearing an interesting shoe.
Well, that's the art of it, though, isn't it? Because when there's those pictures of like someone like Macron or something standing on a box, you think, he's giving it away.
Yeah.
When they're just wearing shoes, I mean, it'd be interesting. It's a bit like the Pepette. I wonder how tall your shoes could be before someone said, you're trying to look tall. Because those stilettos don't look crazy, do they? They're about 3 inches tall.
Yeah, but can I point something else out there, which is it's stilettos, right? So, Mick Ronson or whoever was wearing platform boots, probably not to be taller just because people wore platform boots, they had a big, thick, chunky heel on them. Right. And that was clearly a fashion thing for glam rock, right?
Yeah.
These are strange. They're, as you say, a male-looking shoe, almost like a DM at the front, with a very thin, pointy stiletto at the back.
I feel...
I'm going to show you them again.
Yeah, no. I feel like you're like a dad in 1972 saying, he's wearing makeup. That's ridiculous. I'm happy with it.
I'm not.
You're not going, the shoe I've got to draw the line at.
unacceptable. I'm not. You know I'm not. I'm basically raising the issue that maybe David was smaller than... Maybe he always wore
a very interesting point. Yeah.
And managed to cover it up through the implication, which, of course, David Bowie was always able to suggest. No. I'm just wearing a really interesting shoe because I'm David Bowie, right? Whereas it might be the case, because that is a really weird shoe, it might be the case that he was always like a bit...
You never saw him in trainers. Yeah, but obviously there was all the platform years. It's an interesting point.
Should we find out how tall he was? Because that will be on the internet.
That's a good idea.
How tall was David
Bowie? In as much as it'll be right.
Yes, we don't know that it'll be right. But I reckon he was my height, and I am 5'9".
Okay.
How tall? Yeah, 5'9" 3 okay. quarters. It says
5'10" there.
Yeah, well, 5'10". So
he's not a small man.
He's sort of ordinary height.
Yeah.
But it might be that someone of that nature thinks, I don't want to be ordinary height.
No, I do get that. A bit taller. No, and I think, so I'm sorry.
Interesting enough, here it says, don't vary height, weight, age, body statistics in a site called Healthy Celeb, which I don't think he ever was. I mean, even
healthy.
Latterly.
No,
well,
now.
But I would never put in a Venn diagram of healthy celeb along with Mr. Motivator.
I see what you're saying,
And
I wouldn't put him on Mr. But when would you put him on Mr. Motivator?
Who's that bloke who during the pandemic made everyone work out?
Oh, Joe Wicks.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in a Venn diagram with Joe Wicks.
Yeah. I mean, this won't really translate and won't make it into the podcast, but we used to do his things every morning.
Well, remember, that's a low bar. So
yeah, far. We used to do his classes every morning, as maybe you know, I did it with my youngest son.
Of course I didn't
do it. Right.
The whole time, everyone was going on about, Joe Wicks, blah, 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 it's great. I obviously didn't do that. But I hate all forms of exercise.
He's a very lovable, positive character, but he once told this story, which my son and I have still, to this day, haven't quite worked out what he was talking about, but he said it with such confidence that he said he'd been out somewhere and there were lots of paparazzi there.
Mm.
So he said, so I saw them there and I thought I'd really freak them out and sort of confuse them. And so I did this. And then on camera, he did a thing where he sort of walked with his back arched. It's hard to just,
what,
basically
like Michael bend, Jackson to the moonwalk.
No, like walk normally, almost a bit cockney, but leaning back as far as you can lean back without falling over and just walk past them like that. And thought that was a funny thing. And I thought, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work.
How does that...
No, I mean, apart from anything, most of the paparazzi would probably have thought once they got over the initial sense of what is he doing, they'd probably think, oh, thanks, you made it a slightly more interesting photo.
Slightly more interesting, but not so good for Joe, because it would be interesting to know if there's any pictures of him bent over.
Should we have a look?
Backwards.
Joe Wicks bent over backwards.
Yeah, I suspect there aren't.
Let's have a look.
But of all the ways to sort of react to the paparazzi, it just seemed odd to me and to my son.
Joe Wicks bent over backwards.
Yeah,
you could take us to such strange places.
On.
No.
Images
what,
is what
there is a lot of pictures of Joe working out. You know what? I never even realised, and this seems like a stupid thing to say, that he was that ripped.
Yeah. No, he
really
he's
is.
He's a lovely fella.
Oh, I'm sure he's a lovely fella. Meanwhile, there we are. Go on to Riders.
So Riders, which are, you know, in a way, they're the sort of that kind of journalism, which there's no way of ever knowing if it's true or not.
And also, they're slightly, let's be honest, seen before. As a thing to make fun of.
Definitely. But there are a couple of good ones. I mean, whether they're true or not. Yeah. And one of them on this thing called Tone Deaf is Iggy Pop.
Right.
I just thought this was quite a good thing to think of. It's probably not true. But it's the normal thing about cigarettes and Grolsch and red wine and everything. And then he goes, a brand of cigarettes he doesn't like, so we can throw them into the bin. That seems quite a good thing.
Does he say what they are?
Just a brand he doesn't like.
Really?
Yeah, that's all it says.
Okay.
But I thought that was quite fun.
I mean, it's probably not true.
Right.
Almost definitely not true. Or maybe he did it once.
Right? Yeah.
But then you have to ask, let's buy it. Let's say it is true.
Yeah. Right?
That every time Iggy Pop does a gig, he asks for that. I think one has to ask themselves, at what point does it become not that much fun anymore?
Right, yeah.
Like, here's the bit where, because I've asked for it, I've got to throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
Shall I chuck it from over here or should I just go and, like, put it in the bin?
But...
these camels. I don't like camels. I still don't like camels, but now I've sort of really made a rod for my own back of also, having to put them in the bin. And also every so often people who don't know about it will come in and say, oh, your cigarettes are in the bin. They're full packet, Iggy. Do you want them back? Right? And they say, no, it's a thing. Oh.
Yeah. I think more likely it would be like he'd sort of forget about it and he'd go, why do they always give me cigarettes I don't like?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I think that would be...
Yeah.
And then the other one, literally anyone, but this I like, again, this can't be true. But the Beach Boys,
right?
It says they had 48 bath towels. I mean, fine.
There are quite a lot of them.
I mean, 48 though.
No. But how many Beach? I never really understood how many Beach Boys. There always seem to be thousands of them in the band. Let's say there's 7 in the band.
Yeah, so that's like six each. Eight each.
Yeah.
No, that's 56. No,
I don't know. Quite a lot. I'm not really good at maths.
Right,
but it's between 6 and 8. Each.
Also, that's quite stressful because that implies that even if you're playing really big venues, you've got to ask for towels.
Well, that does raise another issue.
Surely you get them.
That does raise another issue, which is sweating. Which is, I think that I have often seen in rock gigs, and occasionally in comedy gigs, mainly Lee Evans, a thing where the performer becomes very, very sweaty.
Gets a towel. Yeah,
gets a towel or whatever. And there's a thing in sort of feature documentaries of big stadium bands, often when they come off, like the Rolling Stones or Genesis, like someone wraps a white towel.
Yeah.
And that's a thing, right? But what I worry about with it is I don't really like seeing people sweat. Like, it always puts me off a bit. No, sorry, Lee Evans, if you're listening to this, you're a very good comedian, but I always think I can't, when I flick and he's on channel 5584.
You don't want to watch him sweat.
I don't want to watch sweatiness.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
And I think with comedy, that's one thing.
Yes.
But I think there's a strata of thought that thinks, well, in rock music, it's like part of the passion and the thing.
That's what you
but
mean,
I still
yeah.
don't like it.
Yeah, well, sweat never looks good, you mean?
It's never looks good. Yeah. Not even on Bruce Springsteen.
Well, when he's boxers, like, it's all right, is it? On a boxer, doesn't look too bad.
Well, it doesn't disgust me on a boxer. Although, I think in Raging Bull, where there's like a couple of slow mo shots, right?
Oh, you and, see and it come flying
you
off.
You see the sweat come flying
off.
Yeah. And again, that's meant to be a brilliant thing. Like Martin Scorsese showing the sweat coming off Robert De Niro's face as he gets pummeled. And I always say, I think.
Right.
It's a bit,
Also, it feels like.
You have to remember the thing about sweat, right? Sweat is. Got a sort of thing, hasn't it, where it's the one bodily excrescence, can I use that word?
I think you can.
Which can be glamorized, as in like, Robert De Niro's sweating, it's amazing. Yes. Bruce Springsteen, you can see the sweat. If it was just snot, which is a very similar excrescence, people would say, oh dear, Bruce Springsteen has got a snotty nose halfway through Thunder Road. Can you blow your nose, Bruce?
Yes.
But somehow when it's sweat, it's okay.
It'd be interesting to get the PR people behind Sweat, who, as you said, have done a really good job at making it seem glamorous, to say, okay, we've got a really hard brief for you now. It's farting. And we really want...
It's actual shit. It's actual shit. I'm afraid this former always shits himself. I want you to make it seem like
and
that's a passionate thing. He can't help himself. He so loses himself in the song he shits himself.
I think what one of them would go... They go like, I tell you what we need to do if we can get them is we need to get James Bond to poo himself in the new film.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a whole generation that goes, you know what? Yeah.
But you know what? As I've said, you know what? Like you just said. But as we know, and I read a very depressing article about this the other day, which I think was written about 10 years ago, about what he called the killing fields of great rock stars. Obviously, some of them have already gone. David, Lou Reed, others.
Right.
But he named all these old rock stars and said, you know, over the next 10 years, we're going to see enormous killing fields of these
guys. Right.
But we might see before that is a lot of them shitting themselves. I mean, let's be honest, that could happen. Then they might have to PR it.
But I don't think old rock stars are going to make pooing yourself cool, are they?
Well, they might do.
It'd be better if...
Well, no, you're like Harry Styles.
Yeah, so Stormzy.
Stormzy, Harry Styles, well, any of those people.
Yeah.
Basically, if Mick Jagger... Sorry if you're listening, Mick. If Mick Jagger has become incontinent, right, but still wants to tour...
Yeah.
Like, he might employ a PR to say, look, I do shit myself on stage now, but can we make that cool? Or can we not cool, but can we make it seem like it's part of the amazing, you know, thing, emotional release I get into? And then, they might have to say, well, look, let's see if we can get Harry Styles to
Get Harry Styles to put himself on Trevor Noah's show or something. Yeah. Or just something where he just goes, oh, I've just pooped myself.
Yeah, and then it's great, it's cool. Yeah.
Everyone's doing it,
And then when someone says this is disgusting, they say, well, you weren't like that about sweat. Were you? You were okay with sweat, and it's basically the same thing.
It's a very good point.
By the way, that wasn't really true about The Only Excrescence, because Tears is all right.
Yeah, Tears is
Tears is
true.
Good.
Yeah.
People generally like that.
Tears is sweat, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Well, it's a different thing.
But does it come from the same tank?
Well, it all comes from the same tank.
True, but is it the same under the microscope?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good question.
It feels like it's the same stuff.
I'm going to have to ask that question. Are tears and sweat the same stuff?
In which case...
They can't be exactly the same because they come from different like parts of the body.
In which case that...
Are tears and sweat...
You'd have to say they really...
The same.
They really did give it blood and sweat.
Blood, sweat and tears, the band.
Yeah, you'd have to call them blood and sweat.
Yeah, also blood and tears. Blood, sweat and tears. They were the people who could have shat themselves because they just needed to have shit. What are body fluids made of?
Well, that's a different question.
Oh, hang on, here we go.
Exactly. Is sweat
No, the answer is difference between sweat and tears.
Oh, okay.
Sweat versus tears.
Okay. Well,
it's really fucking.
Yeah, but if there's a chemical difference, that
means
they
are. The thing when you look stuff on the internet, there's always loads of bollocks before you get the actual answer.
Yeah, I agree. They are different.
They are different.
Okay. I mean, they're chemically different.
I mean, it's so boring.
No, but they are. It's not the same.
Both contain a certain amount of salt. There's mucus in tears, so there isn't in sweat, apparently.
Okay, that would make sense.
Okay, interesting.
But I think if I understand the sort of Darwinian story behind sweat, it's to cool you down.
Yeah.
I think it's really rubbish at cooling you down.
It's a good point.
It's absolutely...
It's terrible.
It's rubbish at it.
It's really
bad. If anything, it makes it just a bit
grimmer. It makes it harder. That's a really good
point. There's no way it cools you down.
Well, it probably does. On a Darwinian level.
But it really doesn't seem like it.
You can ask Prince Andrew. But he's someone who we know doesn't sweat. Actually...
Are you hot a lot?
Well, that was the thing about that. which is, I think I famously did a really funny tweet about that, which I think they're using in the documentary about it. I'll use it
famously there, because I've never heard of it.
Which was, I imagined the people in Pizza Express in Woking, in the kitchen, saying, you're not going to believe this, boss, but there's a bloke out there who's had a really strong American hot and he hasn't broken sweat at all. And that's the idea. I think he was saying it like it was a superpower. I mean, obviously he was saying it as a stupid excuse.
That's what you mean.
But also a slight sense of like, yeah, I don't sweat.
Yes.
And as you point out, sweating is a bit of a bind, even though it's meant to cool you down.
It's a bind. And it feels like, I suppose the thing I would want to take up with those PR people or whoever we, I don't know who we go to.
I mean, it's interesting because you work quite a high level in TV. You've imagined something I would never think of, which is that you could PR this whole idea of like people shitting themselves or sweating.
Yeah,
or
no, it's a tough brief.
Yeah, but you've imagined there are people who can do this.
But the sweat seems to be hot. That's my first thing.
Yes.
So if you were hot and someone said, look, there's a bucket here of sweat, you know, and you looked at it, that's no good. That's hot and a bit salty.
Yes.
Have you got any cold water?
Yes, that's true.
But
to be fair to our evolution,
Let's be fair to that.
Yes, I think when we evolved
the
ability to sweat, it was probably before running water exists or fridges.
Or running machines.
No, that doesn't matter. No, running machines.
Well, no, but I think
matter.
We get. No, except no, I think
running,
we get.
Running existed.
Did it?
Yes. Running existed.
I thought they invented running in the 19th century. No, that's true, but I don't reckon. It'd be interesting to know whether. I think we exert ourselves more now.
What, than when we were cavemen? That is not true. Look at us. Look at us sitting here. If you were cavemen, without any doubt, chasing. By now, I would have said, look, Tim, I'm afraid you'll have to stop the story about Rob biting the glass that's going on for maybe 50 minutes because there's a woolly mammoth outside.
Right.
So we're going to have to run away. We can pick it up if we ever get to a safe place.
Right. By the way, we can't record this because we haven't got technology, so it's a complete waste.
So no, definitely, we would be running a lot more.
No, but I suppose, okay, let me slightly reframe it because I completely accept that. I think I could beat a caveman in a 50-meter sprint.
Why? Because you're healthier.
Taller, healthier, more muscles, maybe? Don't know about that.
What about a fight? I don't think you could.
I think
you're forgetting something about cavemen, right? Mm. Which is, they are basically animals. I mean, we obviously are animals. We're all animals, but we've evolved to this sort of silly level of luxury that and we're not really meant to have. And a caveman would have probably been very, you know, like he wouldn't have been fat at all.
Yes.
I mean, you're not fat, I am, but a caveman wouldn't have been fat at all.
Yes.
And he or she, but let's say he, because I guess you're talking about the fight and the running against another male.
Well, I don't know.
You said a caveman.
I did say a caveman,
No, I think you're wrong.
Well,
they're running away all the time from like lions and shit.
I'll tell you how a fight would start.
It would dinosaurs.
Start, it would start by me saying to the caveman, because they're quite small.
Right.
Aren't they? They're like 3 foot or something.
Yeah, some of them probably wear built-up shoes.
Yeah, and saying, you should wear a pair of these. That's how it would start.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Bowie definitely couldn't have run very far in those shoes.
That much I think we can agree on.
I mean, it's amazing in a way that he thought, it's confident, I'll do the Brits in these shoes.
Right.
Because I would have fallen over. In fact, I did present.
Right.
And if I'd tried those on, I would have fallen over.
The other rider I found, so if you can guess, Beach Boys. So they had the 48 bath towels and some other stuff, which is all sort of, you know, normal. They specifically requested, according to this journalist, what's the best way to describe this? Some confectionery.
Yeah.
Which seems both very fitting and quite weird.
For the Beach Boys?
For the Beach Boys.
Chewing gum?
No. Would be kept in the same kind of area.
As what? As chewing gum?
Yeah, I'm in a garage. I'm in a garage and there's chewing gum over there.
Garage?
Well, like somewhere you buy sweets.
A confectioner's. That doesn't narrow it down. A sweet shop.
Sweet shop, yeah, okay.
It really doesn't narrow it down. Narrow it down.
Okay, no, not chewing gum.
Not chewing gum.
No.
Okay. Chocolate.
That's very generic. It's not actually chocolate. It's not chocolate. You've taken out a lot of things.
Sort of biscuit.
I'm talking about a proprietary brand.
Right, an American brand.
No.
Oh.
No, that's what's interesting about
Twix.
It. Twix. I'd say
that's chocolate.
I'd say it's really British, but maybe I'm wrong.
A really British sweet.
Really British sweet, like
Spangles. A boiled sweet.
Yeah.
Not Spangles.
No, not Spangles, but a boiled sweet. I mean, one of my favourites, it has to be said. But
Polos that aren't the mint ones.
No, it's like, what's the least rock and roll sweet?
Polos are pretty unrock and roll.
Not as unrock and roll as these, I'd say.
Really?
I really would say these are the most unrock and roll sweet.
wine gums. No, but like no, a brand. It's a brand.
Yeah.
It's not it's like very much not like a generic thing, like there's lots of different types of wine
no,
gums.
No, it's a brand.
Bassett's licorice, all sorts.
No, although, yeah, I take that as an un-rock and roll thing.
Yeah. Not.
But like, it's black licorice, so I think that's slightly
okay.
Alice Cooper-y, maybe. Although he's really rock and roll.
Don't know how you got there. Like, no. I think there's a lot of heavy lifting being done by the black
licorice. Yeah, no, these couldn't be less rock and roll.
Okay, the least rock and roll sweet. That's what you're asking.
Get two more guesses. I mean, it's so obviously not rock and roll.
Okay, I'm sort of running out of sweets.
I think it wears its lack of rock and roll as a badge in a way.
So they still exist?
Yes.
It wears its lack of rock and roll as a badge?
As in, it sort of seems to, okay, it seems to be marketed at really old people.
Oh, Werther's Original?
Yes.
It is Werther's Original?
Yes. The Beach Boys want Werther's Originals in the drink, which I completely get because I really like them.
Yeah, I like them too, but, although they're very sugary. I do like them.
Yeah, but it's caramel, isn't it? So, but
yeah, that is sugar.
Right.
Isn't it? Isn't caramel just sugar burnt?
Yeah. But how much...
They are marketed as old people. How do they even know about sweets? When did they ask for these? Because I can't believe they asked them during Pet Sounds. Because did they even exist then? Although, Werther's Original brand would suggest they've been around since about 1897.
Okay, let's look it up.
Okay, yeah. I think what we might find...
Do you think they're invented?
...is that, I hate to tell you this, that we're going to blow... the made-up world of Werther's Originals and discover that they've been around since about 1987. But let's see.
I hope it's not that, because that's neither old nor young. That would be annoying.
Werther's Original, discover the world of Werther.
Okay.
It's apparently there on their website.
Okay.
There is a Wikipedia entry for Werther's Original.
So there should be.
Okay, so this is kind of interesting. The sweet brand is named after the town of Werther in Westphalia.
Wow.
So who knew that? Because I always imagined that Werther was an old man who was British.
I agree.
That he is Grandpa Werther.
Yeah.
I didn't know German.
That's, yeah, I can see
that. The company was founded in 1903, but in 1969...
Oh, please don't let there be some...
In 1969, the sweet began marketing under the brand name of Werther's Echter, which I think means true Werther's in German.
Right.
But I'm afraid to tell you, the brand name Werther's Original was adopted in the 1990s for the international market. So, I mean, what we're talking about here is a very degraded version of the Beach Boys. Because by then, the Beach Boys
are
very much not Brian Wilson.
No, that's true.
They're about two people who were in the Beach Boys and then a lot of session musicians.
But, sorry, are they German then?
Originally, yeah. Not the Beach Boys.
Because, I mean, that's bad enough. But without wanting to go to a German company that existed in 1903 and still exists now, you don't want to ask too many questions, do you?
No.
That's the thing, because that would be a terrible thing to find out.
Yeah. That
they were sort of the official suite of the Nazi party or something, which they definitely don't say, and that's not the image they give over.
So I'm reading now about Werther's Original. Apparently, an American advert dubbed in Japanese became an internet meme in Japan in the early 2000s. Right. One British advertisement consisted of a montage of the grandfather and grandson bonding together, for example, pointing at animals out of train windows.
Okay.
And the lyrics of the song which accompanied this ended with, "When one who loves you says to you, you're someone very special too." Do you remember that?
I don't remember that at all. I remember, it's the granddad, isn't it?
Yeah, there's always a granddad in it. No, I mean, that's an interesting thing in terms of marketing, because you're right, because in terms of them being the least rock and roll sweet. But that's a contrivance. Right?
Yes.
They're the 1990s, so they're not... antique sweets, despite pretending to be. And clearly someone thought, you know what, counterintuitively, we're going to market this as if they're like, you know, old persons, unsexy.
Like Ralph Lauren. The whole Ralph Lauren brand is sort of made up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's not, it looks like it's some sort of, you know, 1920s throat, you know, sort of cut, and it's not. Yeah. But maybe these are the guys we need to look at pooing yourself. Werther's Original.
Well, I think
because it crosses over with their market, which is old people, which I include myself,
and also
they've done a hell of a job.
And also, if you buy the sugarless variant that use isomalt as a sugar substitute, I can promise you that will be
sugarless variant.
That will definitely.
You should call them that. That's
that will definitely give you diarrhea. Because I eat quite a lot of sugar sweets, and I can promise you mannitol in particular.
Yeah. Okay,
has a terrible problem. In fact, that might be a mixed problem.
Goes right through
that
you.
That might be Mick Jagger's problem, because he's very thin and maybe he stays thin by eating a lot of mannitol. I don't know.
We've got an announcement to make.
Oh, yeah. So we haven't really, because it completely hasn't been sorted, but
right.
Save those the date, the whatever the date is. By the way, I never come across that until about a year ago.
Save the date.
Like people would invite you to things and there would be a date. Now people send out a thing saying save the date, which means I'm not inviting you yet, but it's going to be here.
That is the invite, really, isn't it? But I know what you mean.
But they send it out in advance. And
why
they send
do
another
you do
one.
That?
Well, it's because I suppose they want people to clear their decks early.
Right.
Anyway, save the date, listeners. but we know when the date is, so I shouldn't have said that.
Save her date.
Save her date, because Tim, as I would say, is the driving force behind it, has been banging on about why don't we do this show live ever since we started it. Mm. And I've said, well, a number of reasons. Number one, about four people would turn up. Number two, you're not a live performer. But all of this has been, you know, straw in the wind to you, because you just
don't think that's the phrase.
No, yeah. I've just said it. I quite like it. I think it works.
Right. Okay.
You meant something just doesn't really stay.
Just doesn't stay. Yeah.
Exactly. You've just thought, no, I want to do it. A part of you, as we know, well, perhaps you don't know, listeners, we haven't mentioned it, is that Tim every so often goes on stage in front of maybe 70 TV executives and does killer sets about, you know, selling television programs internationally. Mm. And that's led, I think, to you feeling that you could have had another life as a comedy performer. Yeah. And as a result, you think, here it is, Stalking Time for the Moon Boys live.
Mm.
That's going to be it. And I've basically been like, you know, I've spent my whole life doing this. I'm not so bothered. But I've now given in, and I've had a word with a theatre owner, and we might do it. We might do one night. Stalking
that
Time
live. Theatre being...
This, what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Live. Imagine this. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be very exciting, and it's going to be one night only before everyone gets...
Well, we'll see about that.
Too excited.
Well, it's one night only in terms of, like, we'll try it out.
We're off Broadway, basically.
Long way off Broadway. When there's like 17 people there in a, let's say, 100-seater room, then we might never do it again. However, you know, if it's packed out and then around the block.
Yeah. I haven't really told me this yet. So the guy said, okay, you can do it.
I say it in case we don't do it then.
No, we're not saying where it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't need to say where it is, but the guy at this theatre, which is a London theatre, that's all we need to say, said that he would let us do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't the difficult bit.
Right.
The difficult bit is doing it.
I thought that is the difficult bit.
No. I mean, like any, not a West End theatre,
right,
but almost any sort of fringe theatre. Okay. If I say, do you want to do this, try this for a night, is probably going to say yes. You always say the Hen and Chickens.
Yeah, I've always thought it's not the Hen and Chickens, but it's that kind of thing. Yeah.
The Hen and Chickens is a venue. Yeah. Does it even still exist in London?
No, I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not the Hen and Chickens.
Right.
I might as well say what it is. It's the Park Theatre. I've said it. It's the Park Theatre, if we do it there. Save the date. It's the Park Theatre in Finsbury Park, which I've done many times before. And it's very
nice.
You know
what will happen now is some of our listeners will basically start, like Wimbledon, they'll go out there now.
Yeah,
they'll be in their sleeping bags out now.
Yeah.
And then, like, BBC News will interview them, saying, oh, you must be really excited.
Yeah.
And you never get anything out of those interviews, really, do you? Because they just say, yes, we're excited.
We're really excited. I've come all the way from Basingstoke.
Where have you come from? How long have you been here for?
Yeah.
And then they go, what is it you like about Tim, probably? What do you like about Tim? It's just
Darren.
Like, he's
from
funny.
Darren,
you know,
Cornish bloke.
Yeah.
Darren will definitely come all the way from Cornwall. Yeah. Darren, you will definitely be listening.
What if he doesn't?
He'll definitely come. I'm very confident that he will come.
Okay.
Although he might not. It would be quite funny if he doesn't, because he's the one who constantly says, you know, this podcast, it means everything to me, don't you, Darren? Yeah. And he may not come.
No, nobody might come. But I think it's time we pushed ourselves.
What we don't know, ladies and gentlemen, at all, is what we might do in such a show. Because obviously this is if you have listened to this on a regular basis, you'll know it really is this. Mm. And whether or not this makes for a live show or indeed a podcast, no one really knows. Mm. But, you know, we'll find a way of doing it.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Just to finish, you know, you've got a sideboard, which I'm pointing at now, which is in this, whatever you call this room.
Yeah, sort of anteroom
TV
in my office. Yeah.
No, anteroom. Right.
Screening room.
It's got a telly in it. Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. You've got a sideboard.
Yeah.
That's definitely a sideboard. I don't know what defines a sideboard, but mostly it's got legs and it's got a...
Yeah,
like
top.
It's like a cupboard on legs, isn't it?
Yeah, people know what a sideboard is. You don't have to describe it anymore.
So this is a genuine thing, and I think we are going to crack it.
This is going to be like the pipette question, isn't it?
Is it the word for the hair growing down the side of your ear?
Right.
Here?
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, you make a good point. Because I would say it, I think I've said it already, because I referred to Trevor Boulder coming over to help Rob when he bit the glass.
Yeah.
And in my hilarious improvisation of that, I don't
remember that.
I don't remember what accent I did, because I don't know what accent Trevor Boulder is and I can't do accents. But I did have that character saying, oh, I'm trying to help Rob, but my side burns, I think I said. I've got it
I think you did.
Yeah, because I wouldn't naturally say sideboards. But that is another word for
is
those
it?
Things.
Okay, I'm just because I and it's one of those things I sort of think, have I sort of imagined as a kid that that's what, but do, you can say sideboards, can you?
You
can
definitely, noddy holder.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think in the 70s, noddy holder had sideboards. And somehow or other, that's said less now, as indeed sideboards are less seen. Furniture, I mean.
Yeah.
And now I think if someone grew that those things, and you don't see them that often. I remember Frank grew some
in the 90s.
I think people would say sideburns.
Right.
Shall we look it up?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I don't know whether sideboard is just... It's weird that you have two names for them which are quite similar. And I just wonder if one just sort of accidentally grew up because it was a miss... You know, it was misspoken.
Sideburn, sideboard, which sounds like a song. The history of Burnside, sideboards and sideboards. Oh, bloody hell.
So they...
Word history, this is quite long.
Uh-huh.
Burnsides, apparently. They could also be called...
Okay.
In America, they were called Burnsides. Side whiskers.
Okay, that's quite literal.
The more familiar term, sideboards.
Yeah, okay. So
It was coined. And then we have a quote from 1882 from the Brooklyn Daily Eagle. "I think I'll shave off my side whiskers," said Needletoes. There's a long conversation. "Always thought you looked awfully fresh with them on," said Fitzgerald. Okay. "Honest," asked Needletoes, covering up his sideboards with his hands.
Yeah, so sideboard is perfectly respectable.
Yeah. Rufflequettes, they can be called. Favoris.
Wow.
But I don't know. Yeah, it's a good point. Why are they called sideboards?
Why are they so similar? And sideburns. Yeah, yeah.
Is it just a mishearing?
I'm wondering if it was one of those things, I can't think, there's probably another example where it was exactly that. It was a misspeak, but it just got accepted.
Yeah.
But I don't know, if I'm honest, I don't know which to use now.
Yeah, do you think anyone has ever gone into a place and said, have you got, I don't know how to phrase this, can you do me some sideboards? And what's happened is there's been a terrible confusion and they've come out with two very large pieces of furniture on their head and that wasn't what they wanted.
Yeah, I think this happens a lot.
Just as a coda this is
completely weird
to today's podcast, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a sort of face-off moment. We've had an interesting sort of... It's like two stags suddenly rearing up against each other when they've realised that there's a sort of female in the room. And the female in this case is a guitar. So in my office that we are in, I've got quite a few guitars. Which I... I've got, and just in case any tax inspector is saying, I use them for work because I spend a lot of time writing songs. But Tim plays the guitar, not for work, he just does it at home. And I said, quite kind of like blindly and knowing it would annoy him and probably without any basis in fact, that I thought I was better at the guitar than him. And I qualified it immediately by saying, you will sort of seem better because you sit at home practicing and you can play more things. So I imagine Tim can play quite a lot of songs and riffs, and I can hardly play any because I've never learnt any. And they said, well, what do you mean you're better then? And I said, well, I'm faster, which was a very sort of male, heavy metal, quite stupid thing to say. But when I do pick up a guitar, you see, I tend to do this sort of thing.
What the hell is that?
It's a very, very good heavy metal solo. Can I just point out, by the way, I'm playing on a flying V here, which is a really hard thing to rest on your knee.
This is definitely the weirdest thing we've done.
I'm going to have to stand up.
Yeah, yeah, stand up. That doesn't make it any less weird.
I'm just going to do that again, by the way.
Right.
I think there is a part of me, because I did grow up thinking that like Richie Blackmore and people like that were really good, even though I now realise they're not, or at least they're not, I don't really like that sort of thing. Anyway, that's what I would do when I pick up a guitar.
So you're not going to play it fast.
What's your comeback to that?
Well, firstly, I would never... This is the weirdest situation ever because it's like the Michael J. Fox film.
Which one?
Where there's like guitar battles going on.
Back to the Future. Is there a guitar battle?
No. There's specifically a film about a guitar battle.
No, is there?
Yeah.
No, Tim's now standing up.
No, only because, as you say,
so
you're not...
Tim's response to that is to dueling banjos, except his... Okay, you
win.
Get the Wordless Originals. Because clearly you need one of those to suck after that.
That is the weirdest thing we've ever done.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you in the live show.
Save the date.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.